Let us pray. Holy God, we thank you for your protection, for your grace that's at work in our lives. Lord, we know that we belong to you. Guide us, God, to show us ways that we can offer these promises to others. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Our scripture this morning is from the Gospel of John. It's a long story about the death and the raising of the dead from Lazarus. We're going to read part of it this morning, but I want to invite you, if you have a Bible nearby, or if you have a phone that you're not live streaming us on, that you can look it up. I think it is one that might be helpful to be able to reference and follow along a bit. The story starts in the very beginning of chapter 11, but we're going to pick it up in verse 17 this morning. So it says, "When Jesus arrived, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb 4 days. Now Bethany was near Jerusalem, some 2 miles away, and many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them about their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him, while Mary stayed at home. Martha said to Jesus, 'Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that God will give you whatever you ask of him.' Jesus said to her, 'Your brother will rise again.' Martha said to him, 'I know he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day.' Jesus said to her, 'I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?' She said to him, 'Yes, Lord. I believe you are the Messiah, the Son of God, the one coming into the world.' When she had said this, she went back and called her sister Mary and told her privately, 'The teacher is here and is calling to you.' And when she heard it, she got up quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet come to the village, but was still at the place where Martha had met him. The Jews who were with her in the house consoling her saw Mary get up quickly and go out. They followed her because they thought she was going to the tomb to weep there. But Mary came where Jesus was and saw him, and she kneeled at his feet and said to him, 'Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died.' When Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who came with her also weeping, he was greatly disturbed in spirit and deeply moved. He said, 'Where have you laid him?' They said to him, 'Lord, come and see.' Jesus began to weep. So the Jews said, 'See how he loved him.' But some of them said, 'Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying?' Then Jesus, again greatly disturbed, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone was lying against it. Jesus said, 'Take away the stone.' Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, 'Lord, already there's a stench, because he has been dead for 4 days.' Jesus said to her, 'Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?' So they took away the stone, and Jesus looked upwards and said, 'Father, I thank you for having heard me. I know that you always hear me, but I have said this for the sake of the crowd standing here, so that they may believe that you sent me.' When he said this, he cried out with a loud voice, 'Lazarus, come out.' The dead man came out, his hands and feet bound with strips of cloth, and his face wrapped in a cloth. Jesus said to them, 'Unbind him and let him go.'" So we're in the midst of a series here at our church about embracing the uncertainty in our lives. This series has become more and more relevant with each passing day. We started off a few weeks ago, if you can even remember that, about uncertainties like doubt and forgiveness. Last week, we talked about the uncertainty of worry, And if you weren't able to watch us live last week, you can go back and you can watch that service later on this week. This week, we're moving on to the uncertainty of mortality. Now, to talk about the uncertainty of mortality seems a little strange. After all, we know that there are only two guarantees in life, death and taxes. So death is one of the most certain things in our own world. It's something we're all going to experience, whether or not we like to think about it in our own lives. And so as we talk about the uncertainty of mortality this morning, we aren't really going to be talking about what happens when we die. Instead, we're going to be talking about the ways we fall into believing there's uncertainty about life in our own faith. In fact, if I could retitle the chapter of the book that goes along with this series, I would call it instead The Uncertainty of Life. Because here's the thing, Jesus is always on the side of life. But we as humans often find ourselves failing to believe that, and it causes all sorts of uncertainty about what we face. Yet with Christ, there is no uncertainty about mortality or life. And we see that in our scripture this morning, as that when we start to embrace the life that's found in Christ, it changes the way that we approach everything, even death. But before we get too far, let's go back to the scripture for a bit. Now, if you got your Bible out earlier, this is going to be a good time to start looking at it again. This is a long story, and a lot happens, so a quick recap. So the beginning part, the part that we didn't read, it starts that Jesus hears that his friend Lazarus is quite ill. Now, instead of immediately going to his friend Lazarus, Jesus kind of hangs out where he is for another 2 days. Why? Well, because he already knows what's going to happen. He straight up says in that part of the scripture that Lazarus's illness is not going to lead to death. How does he know this? Well, remember, with Jesus, there is no uncertainty of life. Jesus is always on the side of life. The disciples, anyway, they're unsure if they even want to go back to Judea, because the last time they were there, when Jesus healed a blind man a few chapters earlier in John, he was almost stoned to death. But Jesus is not deterred, and he goes to Bethany, where Lazarus and his sisters, Mary and Martha, live. Now, if you're keeping track in your Bible scorecard, this is the same Mary and Martha that are featured in the story where Jesus visits them, and Martha is the one that's busy getting everything ready, and Mary is kind of sitting around listening to Jesus. And Jesus tells Martha that Mary has chosen the better way to just be in the presence of Christ. Martha, though, she gets redeemed in this story here with Lazarus, because she gets to be the one that proclaims that Jesus is the Messiah. So now we've finally made it to the part that we actually read this morning. And Martha runs to greet Jesus, and they have a conversation that we're going to come back to, where Jesus declares that he is the resurrection and the life. Jesus then is greeted by Mary, and he joins them and the rest of the mourners. Jesus is greatly moved, and he weeps for his friend Lazarus. This is the verse you might know as the shortest verse in the Bible. If you needed to memorize a Bible verse for Sunday school at some point and wanted that one because it was the easiest. Then he goes to Lazarus's tomb. Martha warns him that the tomb is going to smell bad because Lazarus has been in it dead for 4 days. And instead, Jesus calls Lazarus out of the tomb. A man dead for 4 days walks out of the tomb very much alive. Jesus commands the crowd to unbind him from his burial clothes so that he might return to be among the living. Now, this is the last of the miracles in the Gospel of John. If you would flip to the next chapter, it becomes Palm Sunday, and the rest of the Gospel of John is the last week of Jesus' life. So it seems pretty clear to me that Jesus saved the best sign or miracle for last. After all, turning water into wine and healing the sick and feeding 5,000 and walking on water and giving sight to the blind, all of those are impressive. But they have nothing on bringing back to life a man who has been dead for 4 days. And of course, even with a miracle as big as this one, the point of the story is more than Jesus raising Lazarus from the dead. After all, it takes 45 verses in the Gospel of John to tell the story. And only 7 of those 45 deal with the actual miracle of Lazarus coming back to life. So to discover the actual meaning of this story, we need to go back to that conversation between Martha and Jesus. In that conversation, Jesus says, "I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die." This is the important part, the meaning. Jesus could have just said, "I am the resurrection." That's true. Jesus could have just promised Martha and us what Martha already knows and proclaims, that we're going to live forever with Jesus, that we can go to heaven when we die. That's a great promise, the promise that death is not the final word for us. But Jesus does more than that. Jesus also says, "I am the life." The life. Not the life someday, or the life in the future, or the life in heaven. The life right now. And because Jesus is the life right now, he goes to the tomb and he calls Lazarus out from death into life. Right now. Because Jesus is the life, there is only life for us. Not just in heaven, not just in eternity, but in the here and now. Why? Because Jesus cares about us. Jesus loves us. Jesus is with us at all times, even as we see in this story, in our worst times. Jesus gives Lazarus, a dead man, life, and Jesus gives life to us right now. And this is really important because here's the thing. Despite the offer of life from Jesus, we often find ourselves stuck smelling in tombs. Lazarus was in a tomb for 4 days because he was actually dead. But we find ourselves in tombs all the time. And we're especially finding ourselves in tombs right now. We find ourselves in tombs of worry when we don't know what the future will hold. We find ourselves in tombs of doubt when we aren't sure what is going on or how we can respond. We find ourselves in tombs of comparison when we see how that other parent seems to be doing such a good job at homeschooling, or that other colleague is getting so much work done from home, or that other pastor just seems to be offering so many online activities to their church. We find ourselves in tombs of loss. After all, we've all lost something these past few weeks. A schedule, retirement savings, work, school, vacation, sports. We find ourselves in tombs of scarcity as we deal with not having enough, and not just enough bread and toilet paper, but enough patience and peace and hope. We find ourselves in tombs of hurt, perhaps having been hurt by others or hurt by our own decisions. We find ourselves in tombs of fear about getting sick or protecting those that we care about. We find ourselves in tombs of the past. When we find ourselves defined by past failures or mistakes. We find ourselves in tombs and things start to get smelly and we're missing out on the life that Jesus is offering us right now. Because here's the thing, and this is what I want you to remember this morning. Jesus is the resurrection and the life right now, today. Jesus is calling you out of whatever tomb you find yourself in. Jesus calls you to be unbound by whatever is holding you in that tomb and sets you free to life. Jesus calls you out of the darkness of your tomb into the light of his life. And we know that's possible because we have this sign here in the Gospel of John of Jesus calling Lazarus, 4-day dead, smelling Lazarus out of the tomb. If Jesus can call a 4-day dead man out of the tomb into life right now, don't you think that Jesus can manage whatever tomb you find yourself in, too? Jesus is the resurrection and the life right now. I've seen that in so many places this week, as I'm sure that you have as well. In the midst of these tombs, Jesus is calling us out into new life right now. I've seen new life in Jesus as I've made phone calls to many of our members this week. And as we started calling here from the church to offer help to people, instead what I heard were stories of people being helped, of neighbors and adult children and grandchildren reaching out and making sure others were cared for. And then I even got offers to help out from people we were calling, to help the church, to help other people. I even had people offer to me over the phone food or toilet paper if I personally were to run out. This is life coming forth from the tomb. Jesus is the resurrection and the life right now. And I've heard stories about families getting the opportunity to spend more time together, or people going out and enjoying hikes in the parks and meals together. This is life coming forth out of the tombs. Jesus is the resurrection and the life right now. And we've heard stories about people rallying around small businesses to keep them afloat. And we've heard stories about generosity of strangers to those in need. This is life coming forth out of the tombs. Jesus is the resurrection and the life right now. So we've been seeing resurrection and new life. Jesus is calling us out of our tombs, out of the uncertainty of life, into the certainty of life. Now, this isn't always easy to do. It's not always easy to see. Because there's a lot of hopelessness and despair and hurt around. There always has been. And now, if it's possible, there seems to be even more. So it's so easy to fall back into that uncertainty, to go back into the tombs. So what can we do to live into the resurrection and the life that Jesus is offering to us right now? Well, first, we can continue to notice and share the places in our lives and in our world where we are experiencing resurrection and new life. Try this week to share those places with other people. If you're watching us on Facebook this morning, take a second now and comment about where you have seen new life this week. Or share later on your own personal page. In a time when it's so easy to retreat into tombs, proclaim to others that Jesus is the resurrection and the life right now. And then continue to do those things that are giving you and others new life. Keep helping people. Keep calling up people who might be lonely. Keep being generous. Keep being patient. keep getting carry out from restaurants. This is the only week of your life where your pastor is going to tell you to get carry out as part of a sermon. So do it because you have an excuse. And then in closing, I'm going to add one more challenge for us this week. Because I know as we're going through our days, we're all facing new and different things. We're facing new and different schedules. We're facing increased uncertainty. And so you may, as you go about your day, find yourself being tempted to go back into a tomb, even when Jesus is calling you out. So this is what I want us to do. Let's remind others and ourselves that Jesus is the resurrection and the life right now, just by saying it out loud. So when you wake up, say, Jesus is the resurrection and the life right now. When you log on to work, say, Jesus is the resurrection and the life right now. When you walk into the grocery store, say, Jesus is the resurrection and the life right now. When homeschooling isn't going so well, have everybody just pause and say, Jesus is the resurrection and the life right now. Instead of checking your retirement account, say, Jesus is the resurrection and the life right now. When something else closes or something else gets canceled, say, Jesus is the resurrection and the life right now. And then when you go to sleep, say, Jesus is the resurrection and the life right now. And then wake up in the morning and start it all over, saying, Jesus is the resurrection and the life right now. And now I know this is going to feel weird for some of you, but what I want us to do right now, all together, no matter where you are, if you're alone or if you're watching with others, and even if you're not watching this live and you're watching it on Wednesday afternoon or something, I just want us to be the church together for a second. I want us all to say together, Jesus is the resurrection and the life right now. Ready? Jesus is the resurrection and the life right now. We'll do it one more time because even my 10 people here can probably use practice. Are we ready? Jesus is the resurrection and the life right now. We have a choice to make. We can stay in our tombs of worry and doubt and comparison and scarcity and fear and despair. We can be stuck in the darkness and stench of the tomb. Or we can come out of the tomb into life with Jesus. Choose life. Jesus is calling you by name out of whatever tomb you find yourself in. Don't stay into the tomb. Come into life with Jesus. Jesus is the resurrection and the life right now. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we thank you for the gift of Christ, who is the resurrection and the life not just in the future, but in the here and in the now. Help us, Lord, to recognize new life and new hope and proclaim it for all to hear. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.